President Trump is a crime victim. You see it in Fulton County, you see it up here in Washington, D.C., you see it up in New York. Fannie Willis's prosecution down in Fulton County, the Democratic politician, she's a prosecutor, but she's an elected prosecutor, she's not appointed, with this unprecedented indictment and targeting of Trump and 18 others, has been compromised, as if it wasn't already by politics, but now it's been compromised by significant allegations of personal corruption by Ms. Willis herself, who is accused of improperly hiring an inexperienced lawyer to serve as special prosecutor, and it looks like the only reason she hired him is because she was in an adulterous romantic relationship with them, and they used the monies, it looks like, that he was able to bill Fulton County to advance the romantic relationship, meaning to go on trips. Now, those allegations were first made in a filing, and the details, you know, they were made, but there was nothing substantive to back them up other than the credibility of the attorney, who was quite, which as I said last week, is quite high. And, you know, this whole prosecution has been tainted from the beginning. And I called it out several months ago. I think this video we're going to play is back from August, and unfortunately, things really haven't changed that much, but let's play that.
Hey everyone, Judicial Watch President Tom Fitton here. We are in a rule of law crisis with these mass political arrests down there in Georgia. Indeed, President Trump is set to be arrested as well. All of these people, these 19 people, their crime was opposing Biden under state, federal, and constitutional law and daring to dispute an election. There's never been anything like this in American history, and officials in Georgia, the federal courts, state courts can't act soon enough to shut this down. On top of that, we've got this crisis up here in Washington, D.C., with an out-of-control Justice Department abusing Trump while protecting Biden. And it's also going on in New York City with the Soros-backed prosecutor trying to jail Trump again on political charges. Congress can't act soon enough to shut this down, but you can be sure that Judicial Watch is taking this seriously. And we've got multiple investigations under FOIA, lawsuits underway to uncover the truth about this terrible corruption.
And we're continuing investigations in Georgia, here in Washington, D.C., up in New York as well. And in response to the brief, or the brief filed last week, Fannie Willis over the weekend played the race card. She was at a church citing Martin Luther King and suggesting her critics were attacking her because of race, and she made a series of misstatements about the scandal, which were later found to be untrue. The chief among them was that she paid her alleged boyfriend as the same amount of money, if not less, than others that she had hired from the outside. And that simply wasn't the truth. She had paid others from the other outside attorneys less than her boyfriend. And then it was reported that she the special prosecutor, Mr. Wade's wife, who's in a divorce fight with him, sought her deposition testimony, wanted to subpoena her, and she fought back. And in the reply, Mr. Wade's wife detailed and attached credit card receipts that kind of blow out of the water. Frankly, any benefit of the doubt anyone would be given to Fannie Willis at this point. Let's show those credit card receipts. There you have Mr. Wade purchasing a ticket for Fannie Willis there, Delta. You can see that. San Francisco. I don't think there was anything going on in San Francisco related to the Trump prosecution. Let's go to the next. And there's on American, Fannie Willis, you see there. Where's the destination? FEE. I think that's in the Caribbean. Where is it? Fort Worth? So that's in Texas. So what were they doing down there? Now, the court in this case has asked that Ms. Willis respond to this brief accusing her of misconduct and seeking the relief of having this case dismissed outright. And her response to that brief has been ordered by the court to be produced by February 2nd. And then I guess there'll be a hearing later in the month. So this case, I think, is about to be upended. And, you know, the question to me is, I don't think it's really, I think it's likely that she is removed from the case. And the special prosecutor is removed from the case. The question is, can the case survive this corruption? Is it so tainted by her misconduct, as alleged here, as evidenced? I think there's strong evidence, or there's this strong presumption that there's something going on here that would result in all the cases being thrown out, including the case against Trump. Now, Trump hasn't decided whether to sign on to this, but I'm sure his lawyers are looking at this pretty carefully. And, you know, I was thinking about this. And when you see government corruption and the kind of the terrible the terrible abuses we've been seeing with the targeting of Trump, you know, there's this kind of, as I was telling Seb Gorka on Newsmax the other day, there's this like meta issue, right? That's this attack on our Republican form of government, to the effort to turn America into a one-party state by jailing the number one opponent of the president in his campaign, President Trump, taking him off the ballot. We'll talk about that in a little bit. You know, it's all terrible, right? But often with political corruption, you got these like terrible big picture issues. But it's also, the corruption also is often underlined by the petty base personal corruption. So in Georgia, you have the corruption of targeting Trump for political reasons, which is an outrageous abuse of power. And they're trying to make a buck off of it personally in what looks like an illegal way. So it's this personal corruption mashed up with this corruption at the this public corruption at the national and state level, which is just awful. And that's often true of, and I don't want to say just the left, it's like, you know, there's almost always you know, the authoritarians that abuse power, they're usually on the take. They jail their political opponents and they're also taking money on the side. And that's why it's sometimes called gangster government. And that's what's going in Fulton County. You have this element of gangster government going on. And on top of that, we have information that this special prosecutor, who arguably shouldn't have been appointed to begin with for a variety of reasons, he wasn't lawfully appointed and he wasn't experienced, and he was appointed for corrupt reasons, he was up here in Washington, D.C. So was this all orchestrated in part by the Biden White House and the Biden administration? Oh, you can bet. You can bet. And we also know that they were working with the Pelosi-Rump January 6th committee. Now, how does that work? Why is that improper? Because the committee was supposed to be abusing people. Now, they didn't say that. That's how I'm saying it. Questioning people, issuing subpoenas. And the basis for those subpoenas was that they were engaged in legislative activity. Well, now it turns out they wanted to get that material to advance criminal prosecutions. And that's not a valid function of Congress. It's corruption on top of corruption. And I'll say it once and I'll say it again. President Trump is a crime victim. You see it in Fulton County. You see it up here in Washington, D.C. You see it up in New York. I mean, the judges are, as far as I'm concerned, the judicial system is failing not only President Trump, but the American people in not policing this. Elected officials in Georgia are failing the people of Georgia and the United States for not policing Willis early on. Same goes in New York. And as I said earlier, Congress is fully funding this. They could be cutting off grant money to Fulton County and New York City and Attorney General's office in New York. Over there, abuses of Trump, but they don't. You know, and it's funny, but just so you know, behind the scenes, you know, I'm often talking to people on the Hill and, you know, my colleagues in the movement. We're talking about these budget issues and what's important and what should be done. And I've been consistent since the beginning. And some of my friends and colleagues and associates in the movement and on the Hill, members of Congress, they've probably heard me say this a million times. We need to defund all of this. Investigations are nice. It's not sufficient, though. Congress has this unique ability to defund it. And even the investigations aren't as hard-charging as they could be. In fact, they were pretty weak under McCarthy. And I would argue they're still not direct enough now. Thanks for watching. Don't forget to hit that subscribe button and like our video down below.